Court Mazur led an orchestra founded by Felix Mendelssohn, the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra, in Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony.
This is WHFR Dearborn, beautiful classical programming presented to you each and every day right here on our non-commercial independent station, WHFR. We've got so many other exciting activities and events that we'd love to share with you. We would welcome you to become part of our WHFR loyal listener group. Simply give me a call, Susan McGraw, WHFR General Manager, at 313-845-9842, and I will be happy to put you on our free WHFR mailing list. Again, the telephone number is 313-845-9842. If you have comments, suggestions, requests, and anything of that nature, additionally, you might like to call me and let's chat about it. We're always open to new ideas and love to hear feedback of what you're enjoying here at WHFR and also ways that we might improve to bring this beautiful music your way. So don't hesitate to call me today. Love to hear from you. And we're very thankful that you're a part of our WHFR loyal listeners.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn, non-commercial radio from Henry Ford Community College.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford Community College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone, where local investigators as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. To WHFR Dearborn, and for the next hour, we will be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomenon. And our guest today is a Washington insider, Mr. Stephen Bassett. Mr. Bassett is actually a return guest with some new information pertinent to the upcoming presidential election, and he is considered the leading advocate in the nation for UFO disclosure. He holds a degree in physics and is a political activist, lobbyist, columnist, commentator, and conference producer. He is the founder of the Paradigm Research Group and executive director of the Extraterrestrial Phenomena Political Action Committee, or XPAC, the creator of the Paradigm Clock, and the executive producer of the X Conference. His work has been covered internationally in major media periodicals, and he has appeared on hundreds of radio and television talk shows and documentaries addressing the likelihood and implications of UFO disclosure. And we're happy to have him back with us on the air. Welcome back, Mr. Bassett.
David, great to be with you.
Very good to have you. Now, when people hear the term Washington lobbyists, they kind of cringe. What is it exactly you're lobbying for?
Well, lobbyists, there are lobbyists in this town who are registered to deal with virtually every issue that's out there, not simply commercial interests. Well, obviously, the oil companies have lobbyists, and the telecommunications company have lobbyists, other nations have. But also, there are lobbyists for health care, child care, and environmental issues and what have you, and their job is to see that certain points of view are put forward and out there and taken under consideration. So right. The problem was not with lobbyists per se. I mean, they're part of our political system. They're not going to go away. The problem that people have is that it seems that the The commercial lobbyists, the ones that are pursuing much more special interest, or, no, not so much special interest, but very commercial and pecuniary areas, seem to be dominating and moving the government a little too much. And more social issue lobbyists, they don't have the kind of bucks. So money is driving the – it's not that lobbyists per se are driving the issue, but money is driving the issue. So the highly paid lobbyists for other countries and big companies have a lot of sway here.
Right.
I'm not one of those, I can assure you.
Good. That's good. So what is it you're lobbying for?
I'm advocating for the resolution of the UFOET issue. Okay. And have been for 12 years. All through the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, citizen science groups and organizations like MUFON and CUFOS and APRO and NICAP worked very hard to try to understand and figure out what was going on, since the government would not cooperate, would not give them information, and actually attempted to undermine the efforts to find out what was going on. And they succeeded. They proved without a doubt that there's an ET presence. The evidence is overwhelming.
Right.
Since the end of the Cold War, witnesses have been coming forward that have actually been inside government, with testimonies simply reconfirming all that. So, but the issue has resolved. It's not about science. It's not about us proving it. The government already knows there's an ET presence. A political decision was made for national security reasons in the 40s to embargo the reality of this matter from the people. Not only just to embargo, meaning just keep a secret, but to actively work to undermine citizen efforts to understand the issue and get information. Essentially a propaganda campaign and a disinformation campaign, which we were doing with respect to the Soviet Union and the Cold War, and this was just one more component of it. In fact, the national security structures, like the National Security Act, the CIA, NSA, part of the reason they were created was to help deal with this issue, and a lot of people don't know that. So they made the decision to embargo it because when the ET issue just sort of blew up in their face, with sightings all over the world and crash vehicles, more than one, including Roswell, they didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what they were dealing with. They needed to know what these entities, who they were, where they're from, what their intentions were. They needed to try to understand the technology. Had it fallen in the hands of other nations like the Soviet Union? And given the fact that we had a Cold War underway with nuclear weapons on both sides, they were extremely concerned about this being in the public domain. I don't want to second-guess that decision.
Right.
As the years went by, the 50s and 60s, the Cold War got worse and worse. And so there was a real incentive to then drop this out into the public domain. So they maintained the embargo all the way through the Cold War to 91. And at that point, the basis to allow this information out improved dramatically, but it was still a big problem to do so. And a lot happened after 91, wars in the Middle East, terrorism, and they couldn't quite do it. They just couldn't quite figure out how to unresolved, how to let the cat out of the bag, as it were. And so 17 years since the Cold War ended, we still have a government denying the reality of this ET presence, even though half the American people now acknowledge, when you poll them, that, yeah, UFOs are ETs.
Right.
So it needs to be resolved, because
I think more than half.
Continue in this mode. It's not healthy.
I think more than half of the public... I think worldwide, if not in America, half of them, more than half of them, think, yeah, we're not alone in the universe, and two, we're being visited.
Well, yeah, about anywhere between 70% and 80%, even higher, believe there's life elsewhere in the universe.
Right.
But about 50% think it's flying around in our airspace, and about 90%. I believe the government's not telling the truth about this, and that's pretty much similar in most of the first world countries.
Yeah.
So we have this huge credibility gap, and this truth embargo, which is 60 years old now, has been a significant component in eroding trust in government.
Well, those statistics are kind of confusing. When 60% of people say, yes, I believe we're being visited, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask the same group, do you think the government knows more about UFOs than they're telling us? You get more than 90%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got about 35% 25-35% of the people who just said, no, I don't believe UFOs exist, now saying the government knows more about UFOs than they're telling us about.
Actually, let's change the perspective here.
Okay.
Look at it a little differently. When they're asked these questions, like, do you think extraterrestrials visiting the planet and so forth, 50% will say, yes, I do. Okay, that doesn't mean the other 50% believe they aren't. It just means that 50% have finally concluded, yes, they are here. Of the remaining 50%, a significant percentage are inclined that way, but they just haven't come to a conclusion yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a smaller percentage that believe it's absolutely possible that ETs could be here.
Hmm.
So that other additional percentage, while they may not have come to a conclusion, are pretty convinced the government's not telling the truth about it, whatever it is.
I see. Okay.
And that's how you account for that differential.
That was kind of confusing to me. You know, sounds like they're saying they just don't want to say, yes, I believe they're here.
Well, I mean, it is a you know, it's like an agnostic and an atheist.
Right.
I, you know, it's a little strict to say absolutely there's no higher intelligence in the universe. But an atheist would say that. But there are more agnostics in the world than atheists.
Right.
But this isn't about belief. This is about evidence and facts. The ET presence has been confirmed beyond a reasonable doubt, and increasingly the public knows this. Other nations are starting to show a willingness to break ranks with the U.S., and there's a distinct possibility that one will unilaterally confirm the ET presence and leaving us sort of second fiddle.
Yeah.
And this is one of the reasons why I think the Democrats, particularly the Democrats, have already made a decision, I think, internally, that they're ready to go ahead with this in the spring of next year.
Hmm.
But
a lot
can happen, as we know.
We can't really tell our listeners who to vote for, but we should, you know, say, look, no matter who you vote for, vote. But let's talk about the next president of the United States, whether he be a Republican, Democrat, whatever. What do you hope happens in regards to the UFO phenomenon?
Well, I think disclosure is close. I think it's been close for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And this next administration, the change of administration, clearly represents a very significant opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because each time a new administration comes in, they're in a position to move on this.
Right.
This was the case with Bush in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
It was the case with Clinton in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons it is a window, because the new administration can say, look, the previous administration chose not to tell you about this, or the previous administrations,
mm-hmm.
but we're the new guys in town, and we believe you need to know this. And so they sort of garnish most of the upside credit
mm-hmm.
without getting too hard on the downside.
Mm-hmm.
This particularly applies if you have a change of party.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Democrats win, they're in a position to say, look, you know, the other party and George Bush, who was the most secretive president in history, and so forth, they didn't allow this information to you. We're going to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have to do it pretty quickly. If they don't, if they wait a year or two, then the embargo has become their embargo. Then they
right.
have to answer the people's question. Why didn't you tell us this last year or the year before? So they need to do it early.
Wasn't that what happened with Jimmy Carter after his sighting?
A little more complicated. Carter, and this is, of course, the precedent for the million facts on Washington we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Carter, who was an honest man and a truthful man,
mm-hmm.
Mentioned in his campaign that he'd had a sighting in 1969,
mm-hmm.
and that attracted some attention. He even reported the sighting. So he was asked some questions. The only time it's really happened amongst the major two-party candidates in a presidential election after the convention. It's never happened before.
Right.
So he told some people, I think in all sincerity, that if he were elected, he was going to release all the information that the government held to the people. As a result, he got about 10,000 letters that mm-hmm. poured into his office after he was president.
Mm-hmm.
So many that they had to assign staff to work with him. And he was moved to initiate two studies on the extraterrestrial issue out of the White House in early 1977.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these were fairly quickly shut down by other agencies in government that wanted nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 1977. It was simply too early.
Right.
There was no way that the intel military intel community that was in charge of this was going to allow it out in 77 during the middle of the Cold War. They weren't going to allow it. And so, but that was just 10,000 letters. Now it's 31 years later, and we've got the internet, and we've got Facebook, and we've got the ability to communicate and network at a very powerful level. So, and you know, the Cold War's been over for 17 years. So now, instead of 10,000 letters, PRG has launched its most important project, which is the Million Facts on Washington.
Tell us about that.
It's housed at factsonwashington.org. Got a website, very straightforward, one page there.
Factsonwashington.org.
F-A-X.
F-A-X. F-A-X on Washington.
Like March on Washington, this is a Facts on Washington.
Okay, okay.
Now, the fax capacity is to receive faxes is limited, right? Even with a bank of them, you can only take so many a month. But it's about letters, faxes, and emails. We want to motivate the American people and people outside the U.S. because they're affected too.
Mm-hmm.
And during the month of October, I get a note written up to the president-elect, right? Mm-hmm. Have it written up and ready to go, or fax, or email.
Okay.
And come November the 5th, when we have the new president elected, send those letters, faxes, and emails into their senatorial office. Both candidates are senators, and those offices will be open, and they will remain senators through the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the November, there will be a transition for the president, new president set up, and we'll be sending those into the transition office as well. And if we can generate a million, or anything approaching a million, it will be a big deal. It will be a media event in this town, and it will send an extremely powerful message to the president-elect and the media here that the people are ready to deal with this issue. They want it out. They don't want to be lied to anymore about this. And literally, they could close the deal. I believe many of my colleagues believe there's a growing sentiment within the government to end this embargo, to end this issue. Just get the truth out. Move on. But it's not easy. To do it, and no one person can just trigger it. Really, it requires some interaction between the military intelligence community and the executive branch, et cetera, et cetera. And most people are afraid, certainly, to act unilaterally. So the people, by expressing their very powerful sentiment that they want the truth on this, opens the door for them to do it.
Right.
So what's at stake here is this: if we can get this response that we're shooting for, if we can get a million or anywhere approaching a million faxes, emails, and letters into the president-elect between November the 5th and January the 20th, I believe it will close the deal, and we will get disclosure in the spring of 2009.
Now, will the press be aware of the fact that all of these faxes and letters and emails and what have you have come into these offices?
PRG is going to make sure of that. first of all, As mentioned on the website, we hope that those who dissent a letter, fax, or email will copy or notify Paradigm Research Group that they have done so.
Mm-hmm.
By emailing prg@paradigmresearchgroup.org, and of course the email is right there on the website.
Mm-hmm.
This will help PRG make sure the press realizes something's going on here.
Right.
But there'll be press releases going out constantly between now and the end of the year. I've already got 25 or 6 media interviews scheduled, and I expect to do another up to 100 between now and the end of the year. All of this putting pressure on the media. Look, there's something going on. Pay attention, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't be surprised if by, you know, the second week of November, you don't see some photos on the internet or in the newspapers of giant bags of mail sitting in the president-elect's office.
Because I was going to say, they're not going to let the press know.
They probably would not.
No.
But there's not much they can do about it. And here's one of the cool things about it, which I really love, is that after a new president is elected, you know, tons of mail does pour in,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it's contributions
mm-hmm.
to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't just be throwing that stuff away. They have to open every single letter,
right?
See if there's money in it.
Right.
And they will have to read a lot of them. And you know, you got all these staffers reading this stuff, and you know how it is. People are going to talk. It's just going to spread.
Mm-hmm.
And the word will get out pretty quickly. We're getting tons of mail from the American people saying they want this UFO issue resolved. They want the truth of it. They want a disclosure event.
And what basically should our listeners say when they write these letters or facts?
Well, if they go to the factsonwashington.org website,
mm-hmm.
they will see three key points that are mentioned that need to be in a letter, fax, or email that they send.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing some scripted thing. I know you've probably heard of campaigns where there's like a set script and
right.
everybody just copies it and sends it in. this is not a good idea. They discount this because it's too easy to mass generate fake mailing campaigns when you have, quote, script. The most powerful thing that a member of Congress or a president can receive is a handwritten note from an American citizen with the name, address, and phone number attached. Mm. That gets their attention. Yeah. All right? But the three key points are these. And here's how I put it. The basic points to draw from for the letter, fax, or email. The new president should demand and receive a full briefing by his military services and intelligence agencies regarding the extraterrestrial presence and related phenomena. And or, the new president should support convening congressional hearings to take testimony from scores of former military and agency employees regarding extraterrestrial phenomena. And or, the new president should formally acknowledge to the American people the extraterrestrial presence disclosure. Mm-hmm. And whatever else they want to add. They should keep it short, to the point, but make their point. Mm-hmm. And again, the best, the most powerful thing they can do is send a letter, mm-hmm. right, with their name, address, and phone number. The second most powerful is a fax. Mm-hmm. And an email is better than nothing.
Right.
Emails, you know, they can be deleted in a second, and even they can delete thousands of them in a second. They don't read them. But, you know, the ideal thing is for people to send a letter and an email. Fax is great, and we want them to send faxes, but there's only so much fax receiving capacity.
Right.
Okay,
right.
A single machine can really only handle about 240 faxes a day. And did I say 240? Yeah, 480. And what they will do if they start getting into deluge with faxes, what they should do is they should add additional fax machines in a rotating line, right, cascading line. But what they'll do is they'll simply change the number. I mean, this is, happens on the Hill all the time. They hate to get lots of stuff from people. They really hate to be bothered. It's really disgusting.
The bags of mail, that's
that gets their attention. But if they change their fax number, I'll just get it, the new one. Right. I'll get the new one, and I'll publish it so they can change it all they want. I'll keep putting it out there.
Okay. Hold that thought for a minute, Mr. Bassett, because we're going to have to take a break right now to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, 89.3 on your FM radio dial, and WHFR.FM on your computer. I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. We're speaking with Washington insider Mr. Stephen Bassett about the facts on Washington. That's F-A-X, facts on Washington. And if you're just tuning in, stick with us, because right after this short non-commercial break, we're going to give you an address here where you can send your letters or faxes or what have you, and ask the president, in fact, urge the president, demand the truth of our new president, that we are not alone in the universe. France has done it. Great Britain has done it. Why not America? Let's lead by example, okay? Okay, stick around.
Not all criminals carry a gun or a knife. Some simply need to pick up the phone or ring a doorbell. In times like these, senior citizens are often the targets of con artists, hawking shady investment deals and phony charities. Be wary of strangers in your neighborhood soliciting services or asking for money. Many cons come in the way of phony home repair services. These thieves offer major home repairs at bargain prices, but they end up taking your money and never finishing the work. Don't become a victim. Be skeptical of offers that are too good to be true. Never allow anyone to force you to sign something, and never give personal information to people you don't know. Get estimates and never pay in advance. If you suspect fraud, get the contractor's license plate number and call the police immediately. If something doesn't seem right, it's probably not. Protect yourself. Visit ncpc.org to learn more. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
The Trade and Apprentice Education Division of the Henry Ford Community College is excited to present a new 10-credit-hour renewable energy certificate program. The content of the courses will be structured to inform the students of both present and future renewable energy concepts. This certificate program should interest students who are looking for an alternative to our current reliance on fossil fuels. To learn more about this program, please contact the Trade and Apprentice Education Division at 313 845-9609 or on the internet at www.hfcc.edu.
We here at WHFR know you must like style because, after all, you're listening to a radio station that plays many different styles of music. But if you want to take your style up a notch and help us out at the same time, you should check out our online store. Full of t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and much more, you can be sure to be looking your best when you're wearing our stuff. Best of all, part of every purchase helps us continue our style of bringing you the best non-commercial music programming around. So check us out today by logging on to www.whfr.fm and click the link on the right of the page for our online store. Once again, our website address is www.whfr.fm. And thank you for helping WHFR continue making waves.
This is the station making waves, WHFR.fm. I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. And we're speaking with Mr. Stephen Bassett. Lives in Washington, D.C. He is the leading advocate for UFO disclosure. And we're talking about the facts on Washington. Correct?
That's right. Million facts on
Million facts on Washington. Sorry, got that incorrect. I was almost correct. Okay, though, give us an address. Do you have that handy?
It's a little tricky. Remember, the target for all of these letters, faxes, is the Senate, the president-elect.
Okay.
Right. We won't know who that is until November 5th. Mm-hmm. But the initial target, the initial office, will be either the senatorial office of John McCain or the senatorial office of Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. Both of those offices, along with the fax number and the email form page, you know how they do it on the net now, are at the website, factsonwashington.org. And that information can also be gotten from, you know, the Senate.gov
right.
On the web and any number of other locations. Mm-hmm. But we don't want anybody to send anything yet because we don't know who the president is. What we want them to do, and why we launched the campaign on October the 1st, mm-hmm. is to give people a whole 30 days to sort of get into this, check out the site, and get their tome written up in advance.
Right.
It takes 15 minutes or less.
Yeah.
And then have it ready so that when the election is over the next day, they can send them off.
You know,
and start
either
faxing in or emailing or sending a letter. And again, letter is the absolute superior method of getting their attention. All letters are open, and virtually all of them are read.
Mm-hmm.
And giant bags of mail is the best image. You just can't delete giant bags of mail, all
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So the address right now is not critical. What is critical is people getting on board and getting something put together so they can send it out on the 5th. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of publicity about this campaign nationally and internationally. So there's plenty of time, right? You're one of the very first shows that I'm appearing on about this. Your audience is one of the first to learn about this.
Very good.
I will be speaking publicly at a number of events coming up. I'll be at the Culture of Contact Conference, which is being held in Jersey City at the Lowe's Theater. That's on October the 17th and that weekend. I'll also be in Las Vegas on November 7 through 9 at the Crash Retrieval Conference.
Ooh.
And I'm also speaking in Sedona, Arizona, on the 11th of November at the Dream Theater there. And all of the information on that is and everything else we're talking about can be found at regarding upcoming conferences and so forth at paradigmresearchgroup.org. That's the main website for Paradigm Research Group.
Okay.
All right. And there'll be links there to the Facts on Washington as well. The Facts on Washington is a project of Paradigm Research Group.
Okay. Very good. And we don't send our letters out until November the 5th.
Until we know who the president-elect is.
Right. And if there are any hanging chads, we just hold on to our letters. Is that
Let's
it?
Let's hope to God that we actually know who the president is on November the 5th. We don't need to go there again.
Oh, really, really, really. And you're talking about these different places you're going to be. You hosted a press conference at the prestigious National Press Club in Washington, D.C.
Held several there, yeah.
Yeah. Well, your latest or last one here. Tell us about that.
Well, the last X conference, as always, we hold a press conference right afterwards at the National Press Club. And we had a number of announcements there. C.B. Scott Jones announced a disclosure campaign that he's working on. Let me just go here for a second. Joseph Buckman, who's running for Congress as a Libertarian in the 1st District of Nevada, Utah, 1st District of Utah, okay. Had some announcements. Obviously, we had some announcements regarding the X conference. Mm-hmm. There was also an announcement regarding an effort to bring a new initiative to the United Nations on this matter. Now, other people have held press conferences there. I mean, there have been a number. We had the big one in May 9th of 2001, held by the Disclosure Project.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then the Coalition for Freedom of Information and James Fox came together to hold a very important press conference there with a lot of foreign, international military witnesses. Mm-hmm. That was held November, I think, November 12th. Of last year.
James Fox was just on this show a couple months ago.
Yes. Yeah. So we're doing the best we can to engage the media and get this information out. And the media is coming around. I mean, the coverage of this issue has increased dramatically in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. At the ParadigmResearchGroup.org website, I have a media archive there, a media coverage archive of mainstream coverage. Now, not paranormal press, mm-hmm. not alternative press, but mainstream press. And there's now over 800 articles for this year that are archived there. You can go read them, covering this issue in every aspect you can imagine.
Are there more serious mainstream reporting done?
Yeah. Few of them are what I would consider hit pieces. Most of them are straight coverage.
Hit pieces. I like that.
Yeah.
That's with the giggle factor, correct?
Yeah. Less and less the media is willing to play the game.
Right.
They realize most of the media knows this is real. They just don't know how to cover it yet with the government taking this embargo position.
You know what?
Most
of science knows it's real. But you got your Bill Nye, the science guy with a bow tie, and he comes on and
McGaha.
Yeah, right, with the little slits for eyes, and he comes on and says all these silly things. And come on, give me a break. I think that, Stanton Friedman says that 75% of scientists, and this was years ago, believe that this is true.
They were polled. There was an anonymous poll that was done so they could respond, without risking exposure. And the percentage was very high.
Okay.
So they are victims. We are all victims of the truth embargo in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
This embargo was an enormous amount of money was spent on it. It's been in place for 60 years. So it's a big deal. It's not some trivial thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really got people tied up in knots. It's got the Congress tied up in knots, the media tied up in knots, American science, and also mm-hmm. American academia. I mean, there's virtually no courses taught in any schools in the country on the subject, even mm-hmm. after 60 years of these things flying all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all victims. We're all tied up, mm-hmm. and we need to cut this Gordian knot.
Mm-hmm.
Disclosure is the knife. And the public needs to help wield that knife, and that's why the facts on Washington could be the key to finally tipping the balance and triggering the disclosure event, which will be, let's make no mistake about it, the most profound event in human history.
Now, you are the founder of the Paradigm Clock, which is?
I created the Paradigm Clock back in 1998. It was another advocacy tool to try to draw attention to the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I modeled it after the Doomsday Clock.
Mm-hmm.
The Doomsday Clock was famous for publicizing the concerns of nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
So they would move the clock closer or further away from midnight, depending upon what was happening in the world. And midnight on the Doomsday Clock was nuclear war, which was a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
I created the Paradigm Clock, and midnight on the Paradigm Clock was disclosure. It was the formal acknowledgement by the United States government of ET presence. And it's still on my website, and it's set at 15 seconds to midnight, has been for about 3 years now because we're that close.
Mm.
And it was designed to attract attention to how events are moving us closer to disclosure or further away from disclosure.
Oh, I see.
And so it was a tool, and I'm proud of it. I need to invest some time into publicizing that, the Paradigm Clock, some more, and I will in due course.
Yeah, I think it is a neat tool. You know, 15 seconds to midnight, right?
I believe, and I've said this in my presentations, that I think the second half of the 20th century, when you look at it, and taking everything into consideration, has been a race between these two clocks. Which would strike midnight first, disclosure or nuclear war? And I think that they're connected. And I think that if we don't disclose the ET presence and allow the world that knowledge, and so they can reassess, everyone can reassess their place in the world and how they view this planet with that knowledge, that the usual pressures and the usual and old behaviors that we have been practicing for 10,000 years will eventually lead us to a nuclear war, and that will be, of course, a catastrophe. So these two clocks are non-trivial, and I love discussing that. I'd love to debate that issue with some academics, but, of course, they don't even want to discuss the issue.
Of course not. I was going to ask you about President Clinton and his efforts to get UFO disclosure.
Big deal there. And this is, again, the paradigmresearchgroup.org. You can find links and information about the Rockefeller Initiative. Again, this should have been much more covered than it was. But Lawrence Rockefeller did approach the administration in March of 1993 with the idea of bringing to the president a report and a letter asking President Clinton to do what Jimmy Carter promised he would do, which is to bring all the information out, which would have triggered disclosure, clearly. Clinton, this went on for 3 years, and a lot happened. Clinton never publicly acknowledged it was taking place, but we have all the documents confirming it. We got them through FOIA. Grant Cameron got them through, and of course Grant Cameron's the lead researcher on this. So we have all those documents, and we publicized those documents. They're up on my website. They're up on, the full story of it is up on his website. And the press knows about it, and we thought that they would bring the question up to Hillary Clinton while she was running for president. But they never did, because she knew about the Rockefeller Initiative. In fact, she even was involved in it.
Oh, she was?
Yeah. So it was a big deal. But again, it was 1993. It was just a couple years after the Cold War ended. The military intel community was still in their early stages of trying to figure out what they were going to do. The embargo had been in place for 44 years by then, and ending it was not going to be easy, but it needed to be ended. But Clinton was a very unsatisfactory president for them. They were quite shocked when he won. They expected Bush to win a second term. He was, you know, remember he dodged the draft. He didn't serve. He was a womanizer. He was kind of a small state governor, and they just didn't think much of him at all. And so the idea of him being the disclosure president was simply not appealing to them.
It was like, who'd believe him, huh?
Yeah. So while the Rockefeller had approached him, and while there was, and they were very concerned that some that might blow out, that it could catch on, and the media could jump in, and who knows, Bill Clinton could have been the disclosure president. So I believe they took measures to contain that issue, particularly under Clinton. Now he was in greater favor with the military intelligence community by the time he left office, right? But by then, we're moving toward a new time. Of course, we've got terrorism on the rise. We've got more problems in the Middle East. Bush comes in, and of course, Bush was extremely secretive. And I don't think they were comfortable with him as being the disclosure president either. And of course, we got attacked right away. So events keep intervening here.
Right.
And but we don't longer have the luxury of that. I believe that there is a desire to end this embargo within the government, I think within the Democratic Party at the intellectual level, you know, the think tank level. But, you know, it's always something happens.
Do you really think it would be that earth-shattering information at this juncture?
Well, not earth-shattering. It will be the most profound event in human history, and it will be a big deal. The ground's not going to fall out from under us.
No.
The sky's not going to fall out.
No, I guess that's what I'm saying. It just... You know, most people are like, yeah, I know we're not alone, but nobody's really, the officials haven't come forward with it yet, so we'll just go along to our job. I think that if the officials did come out with it, they'd say, oh my goodness, that's great. Now I got to go do my job.
Sure.
You know?
There are two primary reasons why the people need to get about why this needs to happen. One is that this misrepresentation of reality by the government has been a significant component in the erosion of credibility of government for the last 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the only one. But as you know, trust in government is now so low, it's off the chart.
Yes.
9% for Congress, 29% for the president. When the trust levels drop that low, you can't get anything done. And we're seeing a classic example of that now.
Yes.
We ostensibly face a major economic crisis, and Congress needs to act, and so they're trying to put together a package. But nobody believes them. Nobody believes what they're saying. Nobody believes their prognostications. And so the mail's running 50-1 against them passing a bill.
Hmm.
And now maybe they don't need to pass a rescue plan. But what if they really do? What if they don't act, we end up in a depression and everybody's screwed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact that the people could not believe the government will be a principal reason why nothing got done.
That's it.
Trust in government, when it gets this low, you can get by as long as nothing bad happens or a crisis comes up. But if a crisis comes up, trust levels like this are disastrous. That's one reason why we've got to end this truth embargo and start telling the truth to the American people about the world. If they do that, they'll start to reestablish their credibility. The second reason is that we know with almost virtual certainty that they have been working on ET technology and developing it, re-engineering it in underground laboratories since the 40s. And the principal technology there, the big stuff, the propulsion and the energy, is not available. It's not available to the world to use to deal with environmental issues or create new technological businesses. It ain't there, and it's essentially sequestered behind the truth embargo, and we're not going to get to it until the truth embargo ends. Now, that technology could transform the situation we're facing. We're being told every day, we're going to run out of water, we're going to run out of food, we got holes in the ozone, we got melting polar caps, our carbon emissions are awful. We need some dramatic technological solutions, and yet possibly two of the most profound technologies of all are sitting in government labs trapped behind a government program of misinformation. That's the second reason why American people need to care about this.
Mm.
And if enough do, and we get million letters, faxes, and emails come November 4, and 5 rather, and forward, they're going to get the truth about this, and they're going to have technology to use.
We got to take another break right now. We'll be right back, though, but we need to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. We're speaking with Mr. Stephen Bassett. And we'll get right back to him after this short non-commercial break. Don't go away.
Morning, gentlemen. Want to hear our specials?
Sure.
First, we have the seafood special. It's actually been sitting around here for a week. Then there's the cream of chicken soup. It's had no refrigeration since it was made yesterday. We're known around these parts for our food poisoning.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications such as heart attack. Why is it important? Because 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die from a heart attack or stroke. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk for heart attack. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
The Center for Lifelong Learning at Henry Ford Community College offers educational alternatives. Options include upgrading job skills, new career tracks, professional development, continuing education, or personal enrichment. And classes are affordable. Call to register at 313-317-1500. Henry Ford Community College, your best choice, guaranteed.
Thanks to the generosity of all of our WHFR loyal listeners who pledged their support during Radiothon 2008, we are able to not only continue to operate at the same level of service, but also to make some important improvements, such as our improved internet audio stream. As you listen to our live broadcast programs online through our website, www.whfr.fm, you should know that the quality of the signal is much increased. We were using a compact disc quality sampling rate before, but it was not able to be transmitted through the internet very quickly. Many people now have fast internet connections, and if you do, you can hear WHFR four times better than before. And now, with greater added capacity, everyone who connects can have this quality, day or night. Before this improvement, some found our server was overloaded. So thank you. We use your pledges only to make our unique programming be of ever better quality and more available to all.
And this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And I'm Dave Twitchell, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. We're speaking with Mr. Stephen Bassett. We're talking about UFO disclosure and the million facts on Washington that Mr. Bassett is a program that he started to let our new president know that we want to know the truth about UFOs. Tell us about Ronald Reagan. Didn't he have a couple of sightings in his life?
Yeah, he had a couple of sightings, including one from, I think, Air Force One. And he talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know to what extent he was briefed. We think he did get some briefing on the ET issue as part of the selling of the SDI program to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we strongly suspect that the concept of ETs perhaps posing a threat was used to support that program going forward,
mm-hmm.
though they never said that publicly.
Oh, but Reagan thought that they were probably after us. So
well, what he thought, I don't know, but I do mm-hmm. know that he became very fond of mentioning this idea that mm-hmm. if there was an extraterrestrial threat, that mm-hmm. all of the humankind and the nations of the world would come together and
right.
we'd all be
right.
brothers and get along. And I think that stemmed from the fact that he was given some info, meaning, you know, there is an ET presence, Mr. President, and we don't know, you know, they could become hostile. So while we're going to sell this as a SDI, as a missile of defense against Soviets, it also could be directed in that way as well. So we got a dual reason to do this, and I think that's one of the reasons he was so adamant about it, even though a lot of scientists came forward right away and said, this thing ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But he was triggered. I mean, his interest, I'm sure, was fascinating. I don't think he gave him a full briefing. I doubt if they showed him any bodies or vehicles or crash vehicles or laboratories. But I think they gave him a need-to-know thing, and that's what triggered his statements, which were numerous in the last years of his presidency.
Mm.
This is very disturbing to me. I mean, you know, we elect a president of the United States, and I don't want people inside government telling the president that we've elected, the commander-in-chief of our military, that, well, you know, there's a bunch of stuff here we really can't tell you, Mr. President. You don't really need to know it, so don't worry about it. But here's a couple of things. And manipulate them in that way. Give them just enough to steer them in one direction or another. This has been going on, believe me, since 1940s.
Yeah, who's running the ship here, you know?
And that ain't good. It's like giving a cat, you know, it's like pointing somebody the captain of the ship, right, the ocean liner, but you know, only just telling them a little bit of how to run it and keeping a lot of stuff secret. And then when the ship gets in trouble, the captain's going, "What do I do?" And they say, "Well, I'm sorry."
Remember that iceberg I said might be out there?
Yeah, there
it is.
Well, the U.S. has hit an iceberg. We're in serious trouble as a country. We've got major problems.
Yeah.
And we need a government we can trust, a government that is transparent and open, that doesn't lie to us. And we also need all the technological tools at our disposal.
Mm.
And the rest of the world needs access to that technology, too. And they will be very grateful when we provide it to them, which will certainly help our standing in the world.
Well,
there's just a huge amount at stake here. This is no small matter.
Yeah.
This million facts on Washington, if it succeeds, everybody that's involved in it will, I believe, have changed history at a major level.
Now, the big argument about releasing some of these technologies, yes, we need these anti-gravitational devices, these electromagnetic energy. I agree with that, okay? However, and, you know, the other side has a very good point here. It would very adversely affect our economy because energy, gas, oil, natural gas, electricity, is the foundation of our economy.
Well, they're mistaken,
okay.
And here's why. First of all, the emergence of these technologies will not simply eliminate gas, oil, and coal right away. There's going to be a transition period where we'll convert over. It's going to take time, plenty of time to make adjustments and what have you. As far as affecting our economy, well, we're spending a fortune on foreign oil, right. And that could disappear. So right away, we get a huge benefit to the economy. As far as the people in the energy industry, they're all doing pretty well, and they'll still be doing pretty well after this happens, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
The energy industry will immediately take their resources and buy into this new tech and start developing the basis to generate income from it. Mm-hmm. Energy might get a lot cheaper, but it'll never be totally free.
Mm-hmm.
So, but more importantly, if the propulsion systems and energy systems of these craft are as good as we think they are, they will open up a vast array of new avenues for technological development. Dropping energy costs, for instance, if we can tap into the energy sources that these craft seem to be able to access and get energy for a tiny fraction of the cost we get it now, it completely changes the business models for companies, making it possible to generate far more profit. It also creates thousands of new business models for brand new companies.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see an explosion in tech development, employment of our top scientists. And let me point out that I believe that this is the plan that the Democratic Party has. Your listeners need to know that the Democratic Party has pretty much had a plan for some time that they really can't talk about. In other words, it's one of those things where you allude to it, but you can't really talk about it because then your opponents can attack it. But the plan they have is this. They plan to launch a high-tech New Deal program, which has a working title of the New Apollo Project, if they take over. And this will be somewhat like the FDR New Deal of the 1930s,
mm-hmm.
to take us out of the Depression. They're going to pump huge amounts of money into environmental technology development across the board. Everything would be in play, employing thousands upon tens of thousands of scientists, engineers, freeing up mid-level jobs for other people to move up, and generating a wealth of new tech that and new businesses, as well as tech that can be licensed. They will probably pass laws which require that all those companies receiving development money from the government cannot offshore the manufacturing, have to hire America first.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is going to dramatically turn around our economy. But the ace in the hole, in my opinion, as much as this would be interesting, our problems are so great that it's not enough. We need more, and the missing component is the ET tech. If they disclose, and I think they plan to do it, if they're given enough support, then the ET tech can be brought into play, which would basically take that high-tech New Deal program and put it on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of dramatic policy change that could, in fact, turn everything around for the U.S., reduce our balance of trade, lower our unemployment, increase our tax revenues, and, of course, shift our business away from environmentally damaging to environmentally supportive tech.
Right.
This is huge, and this is at their fingertips, but they're going to have to do disclosure. They've got to do disclosure to get at the ET tech. This is the 21st century. There's ETs out there. We're part of a galactic civilization. We need to step up to that. We need to start acting like. We need to grow up as a civilization. We need to grow up as a people and as a country. And you can't grow up and grow when you're dealing with lies and misinformation.
That's right.
So everything is at stake here, as far as I'm concerned, with respect to the embargo's end. And the facts on Washington is designed to close that deal.
Have you been able to sit down and talk with people in Washington, in the White House, in Congress, in the Senate, about this very fact?
Not in the White House. I've talked with government scientists that know the ET presence is true. I've talked with some military people that know that it's true.
Hmm.
I've talked with members of Congress that, not surprised at all that it's true, but are unable to act.
Right.
I have colleagues that have talked with other people in government. So, again, I think the majority of people that are in government right now at the high level sort of know this is true. They just don't know what to do about it. They're compartmentalized and unable to act in a unilateral fashion. And the president is kept in the dark in many cases, not given the proper information.
Hmm.
So we have, I guess, a huge, again, a knot, a Gordian knot that has been 60 years in the making. And we need to slice that nut. And the way you do it is disclosure. You build a public and media pressure on the government to disclose. Disclose the ET presence. It's a simple thing. It will take 5 minutes if they wanted to, though they'll take longer than that. And then we'll all get together and work out the details after that. But without disclosure, we're not going anywhere. So the main facts on Washington, launched this morning at midnight, is in its first day. We will spend the next 31 days spreading the word far and wide, not only in the U.S., but across the oceans to other nations, to get as many people as possible to have a letter, fax, and email ready to go. In fact, I prefer all three. Send a letter, send a fax, send an email. Have it ready to go as soon as they know where they're sending it. And they're going to either be sending it to the senatorial office of Barack Obama or the senatorial office of John McCain. Those addresses, emails, and faxes are already known. They're up at the site now, and, of course, they're available at any government site. In late in November, there will be a transition office for the president that will be open, and as soon as we have that information, we will post that, and we will tell people, okay, now send letters and faxes and emails there. I think we can, in those 77 days between the election and the inauguration, I think we can put 1 million correspondences into the president-elect, and I don't think any president-elect could possibly ignore that. I think the media will absolutely be their hair will be on fire. They will really jump into
and
it
twist some arms.
Nothing like giant bags of mail to get their attention.
And twist some arms, huh?
Believe me, the media has the power to drive this issue anywhere it wants to. It just needs to get motivated.
But, you know, with all of this, and I asked this question of James Fox, with all of these officials, and I mean official people, military people, government insiders, the Cometa report from France,
right,
and the UK releasing all of their official documents, yada, 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 from around the world, how much difference would it make if a president came on the television and said, you know what, this is real?
It's all the difference in the world. Those document releases and actions are putting information out there. They're adding to the disclosure pressure. But until the government formally acknowledges the ET presence, the philanthropists won't fund this work, the colleges won't teach this work, there will be no grants, and the ability to gather the other information that is held within the government will not be there. In other words, look, you know, a lot of people, what governments do is important. I mean, the majority of people could be against a war, but if the government wants to go to war, they're going to draft you and send you overseas. You know, so just because the people think one way doesn't mean that what the government chooses to do doesn't matter. It matters a great deal. And so, like, most people don't want to pay their taxes, but I wouldn't recommend not doing it.
Really.
When the government says there's nothing here, there's no issue here, go and move along, there's nothing to see here, that's a big deal, and it has enormous implications, and we've talked about them. So what the UK is doing is not disclosure, but what it's putting pressure on disclosure. They're sending a message to the US, look, you know, you guys better do something pretty soon, or we're going to do it. They you know, the first world owes us a great debt, no question. I mean, we're the one that spent the trillions of dollars to defeat the Soviet Union in the ideological Cold War. We're the one that put a lot of blood and treasure into Vietnam and all this other stuff, and we did help win the World War II. We were important power. Now, our power is diminishing. Our prestige is diminishing. Our credibility is diminishing. That's unfortunate. But in the early days of the truth embargo, we were looked up to, and the decision was made, I think, by the first world governments. The U.S. will make this call. We don't want to go there. We'll let the U.S. decide when it's time for the world's people to know about the ET presence. Well, that's changing. And any day now, France is going to end this embargo, or the U.K., or Canada, or Australia, who knows. And they will get the historical legacy, and they will be the leader on this, and we will be the follower. Now, if that happens, I'm fine with it. Disclosure has got to happen. It's a global matter. But I think there are benefits, not only to the U.S., but to other countries if the U.S. leads on this. I think we need to reestablish our moral, intellectual authority in the world. I think we could do a lot more good if we do. But if we don't, so be it. But one way or another, disclosure is going to happen. And I believe the best window we've had in a long time is the spring of next year. And to make sure we go through that window, we need a million letters and faxes to go to Washington, to go to the president-elect's office, rather, after November the 4th.
And it's paradigmresearchgroup.org.
It's the home base of all of this, and faxonwashington.org is the home site for the initiative.
Right. Mr. Stephen Bassett, I really appreciate you taking time and filling us in on this, and I hope you get your million and more.
And I hope to see some of my friends and colleagues at the Culture of Contact Conference in Jersey City on the 17th of October and in Las Vegas on November 7 through 9 at the Crash Retrieval Conference.
Very good. Thank you again for joining us on We Are Not Alone.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. And if you have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. And this show, as well as all the forum shows, is now being archived at whfr.fm's website. You can click on the forum button on our homepage. We Are Not Alone is now archived at blackvaultradionetwork.com, as well as on my website, ufoimplications.com. Please stay tuned to WHFR for the best in alternative music. And I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Saturday of each month at 10 a.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. And until then, I'm David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
You're listening to 89.3 WHFR Dearborn. We're bringing you non-commercial radio from Henry Ford Community College. Good morning. My name is Bill Keith. It's now time for Light from the Underground, and I'll be here till 1 o'clock. Got a lot of great music to squeeze in, and we look forward to being with you this late morning, early afternoon. Here's some music to start things off from Rachel Yamagata. She's got an interesting new album coming out called Elephants, Teeth Sinking into Heart. And that makes me want to ask a lot of questions.